live from the Hot Stove Lounge. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, the Flames come back home after a pretty successful three-game road trip, and they take a 3-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and a pretty successful, pretty impressive 60-minute effort from the Flames against their Pacific Division rivals on home ice this evening. Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you, and let's go right to the Flames dressing room to kick it off. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We are joined by Flames forward Matt Coronato outside the Flames locker room right now. Matt, just your thoughts on a pretty impressive effort for your group tonight.
I thought we did a good job coming out of the gate playing the right way. I think that was a big focus, and Wolfie was really, really good tonight, so it was great to see.
A lot of talk coming into tonight and over the last few games about the starts to games and stuff like that, and you kind of mentioned it. How impressed were you with your start to this game and how you were able to carry that over?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the group looked hungry, and kind of like I said, we're just playing the right way right from the start, and I think that's super important for us to be successful moving forward.
That's a good Kings team on the other side, and they certainly started to put some pucks towards your net. But how did you like the way your group stayed with it, and how did you like your kind of 60-minute consistent effort this evening?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought the group battled hard, were sound defensively, and Wolfie came up with some big saves and definitely kept us in it.
How are you feeling on that line, Matt? You're playing with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. I remember the first game you played, you talked about how excited you were to play with them. How do you feel like it's been going over the last number of games?
Yeah, well, they're two great leaders and two great players. So they just do an unbelievable job in all areas of the game, and helping me out, it's been a lot of fun.
That's two straight games where your captain goes top shelf, bar down for a big goal. We know how good he is in the two-way game. He can still flash that skill once in a while, hey?
Yes, he can. Two great shots, back-to-back games. He definitely has a good shot. But like you said, he does everything so well, plays the game the right way. So just a great player.
Matt, you've got a back-to-back into Vancouver on Tuesday night. It'll be your third game in 4 days. What'll be important as you go into Vancouver to take on the Canucks on Tuesday night?
I think play the right way, start on time, start like we did tonight, and battle for the full 60.
Appreciate the time, Matt. Good luck on Tuesday in Vancouver. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
That is Matt Coronato, postgame from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. It is your Flames Talk postgame show. We are underway on this Remembrance Day Monday. Flames take a 3-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. If you're listening live, fire us a text at 960-960 as well. Lots to get to from you in the next little while. We've also got Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills around the table on our Flames Talk postgame as well. And Mick, our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were taking a look at a big divisional matchup against the LA Kings. And, the talk about starts, the talk about playing with the lead, that had been a big-time topic coming into tonight's game. Well, I know they don't score in the first period, but they played a strong first period. They stuck with it into the second, and they played with the lead for almost half the game. Pretty solid 60-minute, a consistent 60 minutes for the Flames tonight. Would you say they hit that this evening?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you look at their start, and it was, I mean, right away they got all four lines engaged early, and they just started rolling. And I'm not going to lie, I was expecting more from the Kings. You hear about what a stingy team they are defensively and how dangerous they are off the rush. I was like,
I can tell you we had a little bit of a insider here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Cam, who's doing our video switching tonight, our producer. And, yeah, there were some F-bombs being laid between the second and third periods. Jim Hiller was not happy with his group.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was very uncharacteristic. But if you look at the way that the Flames played, they, you know, put so much pressure on them. And pretty much you could tell, you see the frustration at the end of the game. Wilsey and I were talking about it. And I mean, when you play the way the Flames did, that suffocating style where you're giving them no room, essentially. And I mean, I know that what that feels like as a player when you get the puck and you just always feel like there's someone on top of you. It's like, it's very frustrating to play against a team who plays that way. So give the Flames credit for playing that brand and that style of hockey where they just, they didn't really give up that much. And when they did, Dustin Wolf was absolutely outstanding. So I think that's one of the, I would say, the best games that we've seen them play all season long. Definitely one of the, I would say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was the fastest paced game we've seen them play. So just a really impressive game from start to finish.
Yeah, for me, that's a blueprint game. I mean, maybe the best start this season. And you know, we're now 16 games in, so that says something. For me, it's one of the top three games they've played so far in this 2024-2025 campaign. I would say that road game against the Oilers on October 13th, the home game against the Devils on November 1st, and this one. All really good games against really good teams, and I love their start tonight. And again, Pat, I know they didn't score for the first 30 minutes, but they could have had five goals in that span of time, and then they finally get rewarded with two goals in 36 seconds. And we knew the Kings would push back in the third period. They did, but the Flames, thanks in large part to Dustin Wolf, weathered the storm and score an empty netter and win this one 3-1.
Big divisional win for the Flames. That's your marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until May 2025. It's Pat, Derek, Megan around the table after a Flames 3-1 win over the LA Kings here at the Dome. Let's say hello to Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as well. Barb's, a late weird one spoils the old shutout bid for number 32. I was thinking back to the San Jose game and game 82 last year and how close he's come to that. I know he doesn't care, and they picked up the win, but had to be really happy, shutout or not, for what you saw from Dustin Wolf tonight.
Yeah, he was really good tonight. You know, the one thing, you know, with LA is they're really good about with traffic. They might be the best team in the league with getting guys to the net, the flash screens and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we talked about it before, and he did a really good job of managing that tonight, especially towards the end when it was 6-on-4. He made some real tough saves from point shots that had a lot of traffic and stuff. So he controlled the game and made big saves, especially the first period. That breakaway save was a big one.
You're probably sick of hearing about it slash talking about it, but the starts, that's been a huge theme lately, is you guys starting on time, obviously started very much on time in this game. What do you think the difference was in previous games versus this game tonight in making that happen?
Well, you know, you go along the season and things like that sort of pop up, so then something that you start talking about, and, you know, the guys recognize it, and, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to give them the plan, and it's up to the group to do that. And they did that tonight. They, you know, it was talked about this morning, and, you know, now it's up to them to do it. And to their credit, they did a good job of it right from the start this morning or today.
Barbs, I think we'd all agree that it was in 04. The question is, was it in 24? Because every look we got of that Trevor Moore goal with 2:31 to go looked inconclusive, and the ruling on the ice was no goal.
Yeah, I thought it was inconclusive too. I mean, we watched it live of like probably 8 or 9 times, and I'm like, you couldn't tell, and so yeah, it was no goal on the ice. I don't know, like
maybe they had an angle we didn't.
Maybe, or they just
there was one Amazon showed that was the most conclusive one that I had seen, and it was zoomed up, and it had the puck on his cuff, but I still couldn't tell if it was definitively past the line. So
right.
I thought same thing, that it was inconclusive because it was a no goal on the ice.
Yeah, because it's got to fully be across the goal line.
Yeah.
So
you can't
tell, and you don't want to say they assumed, but you almost think they did. So I don't know. The fact that he made that save there, or almost made that save there, was pretty impressive, because live I was like, holy like, he made that save.
Good sensor. And, well done.
The Kings had, you know, a handful of grade A chances in the first 40 minutes, but it was also a game where, because of how good the Flames were in front of Dustin Wolf, there were stretches where he didn't have a lot of puck touches. How tough can games like that be for a goaltender?
Yeah, it's tough. Well, like I said, it was really quiet for the first 10, 12 minutes of the game, and then, you know, he had a couple to kind of get him into the game, and then it was a breakaway. You know, so, you know, we're controlling a lot of the play, so as a goalie, mentally, you got to keep yourself engaged, you got to keep yourself involved. You know, ideally, you're maybe touching pucks as far as puck handles and those sorts of things, but that's one thing Dustin's really good at, is just managing the game, not riding the highs and lows. And, you know, a lot of times as a goalie, you can feel the pressure. Okay, the guys are playing really good, like, I don't want to screw this up, sort of thing. So, but he does a really good job doing that.
We're chatting with Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, following a 3-1 win over the LA Kings. You know, the Kings, I just did the math, 59 shot attempts overall, 55 at 5-on-5 in the final 40 minutes, especially after they fell down 2-0. But by my count in that stretch, especially in the third period, just 2 slot opportunities from the Kings at 5-on-5, 3 if you count in the power play. Just how impressed were you? And you watch from up high, how impressed were you with the way that your group kept the Kings to the outside, even when they had a lot of time on the attack?
Yeah, I really liked our game tonight. I thought we smothered them. We were above them all night. Our reloads were great. Our neutral zone was good. We didn't give them a lot of time and space tonight, and that's a good hockey team over there. And all night long for 60 minutes, I thought we did a really, really good job with all the things that how we want to play and how we want to do it. And you know what? I don't know what the final number was, but I thought we blocked a lot of shots tonight too, which, you know, when you play a team like them that shoots a lot from up top, you need
36
that.
36
yeah.
At the end of the night.
Yeah, it was a lot, right? So for a team that like them that likes to go low to high and get a lot of pucks on net from their D-men, you need guys to block shots. And I thought the guys did an awesome job of that tonight.
Well, and at the other end of the ice, because I know you do the pre-scout on the other goaltenders, Darcy Kemper had a really strong game as well. But what did you like about the way your group was able to generate offense?
Well, both goals, they listened to the pre-scout, so that was nice for me. No, I mean, we can't play fancy, right? We have to play simple. We have to play hard. Our forecheck's really important for us. You know, creating stuff from the point, creating stuff with traffic, it's not exciting, but it works for our group, and that's something that we just have to continue to keep doing. It allows us to play in their team zone, it allows us to have the puck more, and also allows us to not give up as much.
As a former NHL goaltender and a current NHL goalie coach, I know you love defensemen who block shots. So just to follow up on that, Rasmus Anderson had a career high 7 block shots, all in the first 40 minutes, and moved past Chris Tanev for the league lead in block shots this season. He's up to 57, so I thought you'd appreciate that.
Well, we can't tell him that because his head will get too big.
Could it get any bigger, though? That's the question, right? Andrei Kuzmenko, a guy who I think for the last handful of games has really started to look dynamic. What are you seeing from number 96 right now?
Yeah, he looked more engaged tonight for sure. Just he had more energy, you know, and when Kuzi's at his best, he's skating, he's working. He has a puck on his stick, you know, and he's going to make plays. Like, he's going to turn a puck over sometimes, but he has the ability to make plays. And when he's skating and engaged like that, he can be a really effective player.
Congrats on the win. Thanks, as always, Barbs, and good luck on Tuesday in Vancouver, hey?
Thanks, guys.
Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, joining us following tonight's 3-1 win for the Flames over the LA Kings. Barb's hair is on point as well. That hair is outstanding. Jason LaBarbera joining us here on our Flames Talk post-game show following this 3-1 win over LA. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame with Megan Mickelson on the clock on this Monday night. Mick, where are we going for the hardest working Flame tonight?
Well, a lot of candidates, which is always a good sign, but I mean, I'm going to go with Dustin Wolf. I mean, he was outstanding. Think of that breakaway save he made in the first, couple 10 bellers in the second, and that was a tough one on the video review. Like, I wish we could give him that one back, but he was really good. Also had an assist, so that's
first
just
career NHL point,
icing on the cake for him. But once again, I mean, I don't think the Flames win that hockey game without those massive saves that he made. So I'm going to give it to Dustin Wolf. Honorable mention to Connor Zary, who didn't have a point, but who was so impactful in the way that he played the game and the chances that he generated.
Mm-hmm. It is Dustin Wolf, though, who is named tonight's hardest working Flame. 3-1 final score, Flames over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Okay, right into Vancouver for a tough back-to-back. Another Pacific Division foe on Tuesday night, so it's a 3-games-in-4-days situation. Wrapping up with the Canucks. Let's get some final thoughts from you two as the Flames go into Vancouver on Tuesday night, starting with Megan Mickelson.
I liked just about everything about that game from the Flames. Thought, you know, really good start. Defensively, they were solid. Lots of shot blocks, like we just talked about. Their play in the neutral zone, Barb's mentioned it. They smothered them. I use the word suffocated. And then their forecheck was relentless, aggressive. There was so much pace and intensity to their game. I would say if I'm being really picky, the power play is still a bit of a problem. So that would be the only thing that I would say from this game that I didn't like was the power play. But other than that, just a really, really solid game from the group. And I think it's really great to see that, I mean, this early on in the season that they know what their identity is as a team. Sometimes that takes a little bit longer to figure out, but they very obviously know what it is. They know what they need to do to win, and it looks like they're starting to figure out how they can execute that on a nightly basis for a consistent 60 minutes.
I've actually liked PP2 more than PP1 of late. So
me too.
I wonder if maybe they try to change things up again. On the other side of special teams, a huge penalty kill late in the hockey game. It's 5-on-4 that turns into a 6-on-4 when they pulled Darcy Kemper and put an extra attacker on the ice. And I thought Michael Backlund and Kevin Rooney were outstanding on that PK. And it was good to see Rooney get his first goal into the empty net to seal the deal tonight. Again, maybe it's recency bias, but for me, one of the best starts this season, one of the best games from start to finish this season. The Flames were the better of the two teams, certainly in the first 40 minutes, and probably could have, maybe even should have, had a lead after one and a larger lead after two. But, you know, they stuck with it and then weathered the storm in the third period as the Kings made a push, which we expected them to. But that's a huge win. You stretch your point streak to 4 games and you put 2 more points in the bank heading into the second half of a tough back-to-back. It's not going to be easy. It's a flight from Calgary to Vancouver tonight. You play against a really good Canucks team tomorrow night. So we know that's going to be a difficult game. But, you know, you probably don't go into the back-to-back thinking if we get 1 win out of 2, we're going to be happy. You want to get greedy if you win the first one and try to win the second one as well. But the Flames are off to a fantastic start, 8-5-3, and all of a sudden only 2 points behind the Kings for first place in the Pacific Division. So from the goaltender out, really well-played hockey game by the home team tonight. Looking forward to seeing them, and if they can follow up on it tomorrow night on the road.
Talk to you tomorrow, friends. Be well.
Thanks,
okay,
Pat.
Good night, Pat.
Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson saying goodbye on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Monday night. 3-1 final score. Flames over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames home for one, but essentially there's a 5-game road trip, let's be honest. 3 games on the road, 1 at home. Then 1 on the road. After the game in Vancouver on Tuesday, things calmed down a little bit for the Flames schedule-wise. They will play on Friday, then not again to the following Tuesday. So after Tuesday's game in Vancouver, 1 game in the stretch of a week, which will be nice for the Flames because they definitely could use the rest. Okay, let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska. He just wrapped up in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge following his team's 3-1 win over the Kings.
What was your assessment of what you got out of your group tonight?
I liked our game tonight. There was a lot of good from a lot of players, so there's not a lot that I could be overly critical of tonight. I thought it was a pretty solid 60 minutes.
Didn't get rewarded in that first period, but did you feel that was the start of what led into the start of the second?
Well, it was a good first period. I mean, it was something for us to build off of. And as I said this morning, I don't think the starts have been like just awful for us over the last little bit. I know there's always things that get made out of that. There's always one moment that kind of shifts momentum at times, and I thought tonight we did a good job of not losing that, and we kept it on our side throughout the first period.
Is this as good a five-man style game that your team has played all year?
It would be up there. I mean, there was a lot, as I said, there was a lot of good. Even when we didn't have the puck, I thought we weren't cheating the game at all. We weren't looking to hope a puck was going to bounce our direction and maybe get an offensive opportunity. I thought there was commitment to play the game the right way tonight from everybody.
Not just two players, but you talk about moving your feet a lot. It felt like both Kuzmenko and Zary were really doing a lot of that.
Connor was very fast early on. Like, that's maybe the quickest I've seen him look at the NHL level. And Kuzi was the same. Kuzi ended up making a nice pass on Hubie's goal, but I thought both guys had impact tonight. And at the end of the day, eventually they're going to fall for Connor. He's had a lot of those chances where he's been in tight and he hasn't been able to finish. But if he's getting those opportunities, he's going to eventually score. But I guess my main thing for those two guys is they are capable of doing it all the time. And tonight was a great example of the type of player they can be for us, for sure.
After we spoke to you this morning, we did find out that Anthony Mantha is out for the season. I imagine that's you just feel for the player.
Yeah, it's awful. When you saw the hit in Montreal, you're like, okay, maybe he might miss a little bit of time. And when we got the news, it was fairly significant. You do feel gutted for the player because it's not an easy thing to come back from. But with Mo, I think he's going to do things the right way. He'll get it done, and he'll get working on his rehab right away and put himself in a position to be able to come back.
Ryan, if I can just circle back on Zary, when he beats a guy, and when anyone beats a guy kind of clean one-on-one the way he did early, do you notice, does it change maybe the space they get or the way they're defended for the rest of the night?
I think with certain players around the NHL, I think there's a tendency for defensemen, if they get beat one time by a certain guy, you know, we see number 97 do it a fair bit, where a D-man will stay tight to start with on him, and then they back off because they're worried about getting embarrassed. With Connor, I think he's starting to get a bit of a reputation that he can make those plays at speed, but I don't know if that's the reason why yet.
Yeah. Speak to the poise of your goalie after giving up, you know, a long video review and then losing the shutout, and then suddenly you're under siege.
Yeah, I thought he was awesome tonight. Like, you know, I was hoping that one he could have maybe found a way to keep out, because he deserved not to let anything get by him the way he was playing tonight. But really good effort from him, and I thought he was a guy that gave our team a lot of confidence in front of him tonight.
That is head coach Ryan Huska following tonight's 3-1 win for the Flames over the LA Kings. Solid night for the Flames, and they definitely are full marks for 2 points this evening. Okay, our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. What's going on? It's Steinberg along with you. Hey, phone lines are open. Got a few lines open. If you want to jump in, call now, 403-240-4444. And our text line is open at 960-960. If you want to get your text in, you can do that as well. Lots of text, but we're a little thin on the phone lines early on. So if you want to jump in, give us a call right now, 403-240-4444, or fire us a text at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Doing a 3-1 Flames win over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome back to the Hot Stove Lounge as our Flames Talk postgame show continues. We're live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, and more. And soon, coming to YouTube. Soon, coming to your eyeballs, too. Apologies for that. But we are available all over the place on Flames Talk postgame. Hopefully you're having a wonderful Monday evening on this Remembrance Day 2024, and a really impressive night for the Flames. You know, they came out and we were talking all day long, coming out of the Buffalo game, all weekend long. All the talk has been about the starts and playing less from behind and playing more with the lead. Well, the Flames never trailed tonight. They played with the lead for about 30 minutes or so, which is more than they've played with it for a long time. They held a lead going into the third period for just the third time this season. They're 3-for-3 now in closing those out. And, you know, they just...
the way they need to play, the details they need to hit, they did. Now, you can say all you want about did the Kings play well, did they not play well. It's kind of immaterial because there's a Flames Talk post-game show. It's not Kings Talk. What you saw from the Flames was a really good effort and a really deserving 2 points that they were able to earn here tonight. So that's a blueprint game. I think it's a good way of putting it from Derek to, you know, that's how the Flames are going to need to play. Does it happen every night for an entire 60? Of course it doesn't. That's just not the way things go over an 82-game season. But I think there's another example of what happens when they do it fairly consistently, that they can get the results. And a few things. First of all, they were so much better off the start. They played a really strong first period, didn't score, but it kind of laid the foundation for the rest of the game. They continued that into the second period. They stuck with it, and then they broke through with those two goals in 36 seconds, Backlund, then Huberdeau. And they deserved to break through, and they took the 2-0 lead. And that seemed to wake up the LA Kings, and playing from behind, the Kings turned it up. And, you know, did I think the Kings were to their identity the way that you'd want them to be if you're a Kings fan? Probably not. And so they started to turn it up a little bit. Dustin Wolf shut the door. But, you know, it wasn't like Dustin stole this game. It wasn't like Wolf, and he was very good, don't get me wrong, and was robbed of a shutout, which we can talk about, I'm sure, on the phone lines and the text line. But, you know, I like the fact that they did a very nice job of making life fairly easy on Wolf in front of him. The Kings still generated their high-quality chances, but the Flames did a nice job of limiting how many there were. At 5-on-5, Flames only allowed 8 high dangers or slot opportunities from LA. When you count in power plays, it was only 9. I just thought, you know, even as the Kings cranked it up and looked a little bit more like the team that's on top of the Pacific Division right now, the Flames defended intelligently, and even though they were on the back foot, I thought they played some really good hockey in that regard. So, yeah, solid night for the Flames. And then Dustin Wolf was 100% there to shut the door when he needed to. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dustin Wolf's Save of the Game comes in period number 2.
Here comes Moore into the Flames zone. He centers Kopitar to the backhand. Stopped by Wolf. What a save by Dustin Wolf on Kings captain Anze Kopitar.
And that ends up being one of the 29 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight. And that's his Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. And look, I don't think we need to make it a big deal. Is it overly controversial? No. Did it look like it was conclusive evidence that overturned the no goal on the ice? It didn't look conclusive to me from the angles I saw. Maybe the officials had another angle. I honestly don't know. But I like from everything that I saw on the Prime broadcast and everything that we saw in-house, it didn't look like there was conclusive evidence that the Trevor Moore goal did cross the line. Doesn't matter. Flames won the game. Still, another night when Dustin Wolf was that close to his first career NHL shutout, but all that matters to him is the win. He was your number one star tonight. Let's hear from Dustin Wolf right now inside the Flames locker room following a 3-1 win over his hometown team, or one of his two hometown teams, the Los Angeles Kings.
How would you assess, first of all, the overall game of this group tonight to come back home and get what looked to be a pretty complete game?
100%. Well, that was a full 60 minutes from our group, and yeah, that's what we should expect from ourselves. When we play like that, we put ourselves in an opportunity to win each and every night. And yeah, it's a good hockey club over there, and you know, a tight 2-1 is important for us.
Were you feeding off them? Were they feeding off you? Or was it kind of that connectivity that you guys have talked about?
No, I think everyone as a whole just shut them down, and you know, any chances they had, I was able to see for the most part. And you know, and I'm just trying to help keep pucks out of our net. And if we score one more than when they do, then we're going to be in pretty good hands.
What did you see on the goal that they counted? Did you have a feeling that it might be in?
I knew it was close. When I dove over, I thought maybe my glove was close to the line. From the view on the jumbo, it looked really tight. So I thought we might get away with it, but the guy said that the cam in the back of the net kind of showed it by just a hair. Unfortunate, and especially when we
had to go back on the kill right away, but no, good to get that win.
I'm sure you would lose a lot of sleep over not having any NHL points. Tom Brasso was the NHL's all-time leader with 48 assists. So you feel like you're coming for him now?
Yeah, that's one. We'll see what happens.
How soon after losing the shutout do you think, okay, well, now I've assisted on the game winner?
You know, I didn't even know that until Hubie said, I think you let that in so you could be a part of the game winner. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool. Glad we could get that win, and now we move on to tomorrow.
We've heard so much about the start. From your vantage point, what was different in the first, whether it's 10 minutes, first period, whatever you saw, what was different tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we took it to them right from the drop of the puck. You know, the last few games, we've had a tendency to give one up early, and, you know, we dominated the play. I think the shots were like 7 or 8 nothing before they had one on net. And, you know, if we have starts like that, we're going to put ourselves in a good position to, one, win the period and set ourselves up for the next.
Dustin, like guys like Kevin Fiala, Kopitar, they didn't really have much. Can you speak to maybe your defensemen and what they did to limit the Kings there?
Yeah, I mean, our gaps have been really good. You know, if they're tight on their gaps, it limits their opportunity to, one, get around them, and, two, shoot through them. But, I mean, they were a great job boxing out, letting me see as much as I could. And anytime I made a save and there was a rebound, they were there to clear it away. So, like I said, it's a full team effort from the forward D out, and you know, we're just glad to get the 2 points.
There you go. That is Dustin Wolf, your number one star, following his 29-stop effort in this Flames 3-1 win over the LA Kings. Okay, Flames Talk postgame is well underway. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. We will get there shortly, but let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. Starting with Murray, who says the Flames were outstanding on their breakouts. If they keep this up, it bodes well. Very impressive effort tonight. This one from Kyle, who says phenomenal start to the game. No shots on goal for the first half of the period from the Kings. You can't really ask for better. One of their most complete games. If they keep pressing the way they did in this game, it'll be a great season to watch. Not that it hasn't been already. Even Huberdeau had a great night, and I'm sure if you recall many of my messages, I'm not his biggest fan. Just goes to show, when everyone buys in and executes, things go your way. Zeri, his skill just keeps. I can't wait to see how this guy's career goes. He's going to be something else to watch. I didn't see a lot of Kadri tonight. Maybe I just didn't notice him, but it seemed like he wasn't out much. Wolf is just unreal. Not just Calder, but Vezina level. They've got a great team and a great culture. Win or lose, they've been fun to watch this season. Look, Vezina might be a little premature at this stage, but, you know, if he continues playing the way that he is, I think he'll be in the Calder Trophy Rookie of the Year conversation. That, I think, is very fair. What else is this? This says, what could likely be the best save of the season for the Flames ends up being a goal. Yeah, I know. It really sucks. I agree with you on that front. This from our buddy Scotty in Victoria. Didn't it feel weird heading into the third with a 2-goal lead? I felt more worried than when they were down by 1 or 2. Great effort by Huberdeau tonight. Goals, shots, hits, and blocks. Love seeing Kosko jump in to drop the mitts, all with a smile on his face. Bummer about the Kings goal. It does look in, but don't they need to see the goal line to 100% confirm? Using the crossbar or the in-net camera seems suspect. Do you know the rule on these reviews? Regardless, the boys got it done. I wish Wolf would have gotten the shutout, but happy with his performance nonetheless. That was long-winded. Sorry, Pat. That comes from Scotty. In terms of the rule, it has to be conclusive evidence on whether or not the puck crossed the line. Now, from the angles we saw, was it 100% conclusive? Look, I don't know. Not from what I saw. Now, they have other angles, perhaps. Maybe it was. It was close. There's no doubt about it that it was close, and common sense probably says it was over the line, but was it conclusive, like the full-on, no doubt conclusive evidence that it crossed? From what I saw, no, it wasn't. This from David in Hawkwood. Still don't think it was a goal. How can it be conclusive if you can't even see the line it's supposed to cross? That's kind of where I am, David. Again, I'm not overly up in arms about it. They won the hockey game, but I understand. This from Mick. So very sad and unfortunate to watch this. The Flames are last year's Philadelphia Flyers. They'll battle for a playoff spot all year and miss out. The difference is the Flyers didn't have to give their first pick to the Habs if they didn't finish bottom 10. This franchise is just hopeless. Mick, I guess what I would say is,
can still enjoy the ride. I understand where Mick is coming from. But also, they're not even a quarter of the way through the season. There's a lot that still needs to be determined here. What else we got here at 960-960? Kurt says, Pat, thanks for an all-Flames 3 stars after the last couple away games with 0 Flames in the list, given the tight extra time games. Yes, I did choose these ones tonight. I can get behind that. This from Jordan. Loving what I'm seeing from Wolf. He'll be with another point. It was a good night in Calgary. You know, who would have thought? Who would have put this money down that 16 games into the season that the Flames' leading goal scorer wouldn't be Connor Zeri, Nazem Kadri, Matt Coronado, Blake Coleman, Yegor Sharangovich? No, Jonathan Huberdeau is their goal-scoring leader through the first 16 games of the season. This from Leanne and Camrose. Great performance tonight from everyone. Nice precision from Kuzmenko. His handling has great potential. This from Nathan in McKenzie Lake, who says, Pat, maybe they're best game of the year, just a great 60-minute effort. Thought the team did a great job clogging up the neutral zone. All 4 lines were skating and played well. How about Zeri's game tonight? He was the most dangerous player on the ice. Just a filthy move in the first period. Really wanted to see him pot one. He's one of those players that can bring you out of your seat. Has been a real bright spot this season. Only downside from this game is that Wolf couldn't get the shutout. I wanted to see him get it so bad, and unfortunately it's a controversial call that ends the shutout bid. Pat, I don't know how on earth that's deemed conclusive, considering the call on the ice was no goal. It did look like it may have crossed the line, but didn't seem conclusive. Reminded me of Bennett in 2015, although that seemed much more conclusive than this one. I digress. A fun game to watch and lots of positives. I just that's kind of where I am. Common sense says it probably crossed the line. Conclusively, though, I can't tell you for sure from what I saw. Again, maybe they have other angles. I don't know. But from what I saw, it didn't look like it was conclusively in, even though common sense would say it probably was. Our buddy Dylan and Revelstilk, fully on team rebuild, but I think it's important to remember an important part of rebuilding is development of young players and learning how to win. Can't hate anybody with what's happening this year. Wolf looks stellar, although this might be RB, not sure. I don't know what that means. I wish they didn't have to hear about 04 every time there's a goal review. It was 20 years ago. Time to move on. Question for you. Do I talk about Zeri too much? Because every time I think I do, he has a shift like that, and I have to talk about him more. That comes from Dylan in Revelstoke. I mean, honestly, Dylan, no. I mean, I don't think you can talk about him enough. I mean, he continues to be probably the most electric offensive player on the team just in terms of what he's able to do dynamic-wise. He is sitting at 8 points in 15 games. I think that he's been more dangerous than those 8 points in 15 games. So we'll see. This says, we got to go way up from Ella in Okotoks. Pat, I really liked how the Flames came out of the gate in this game. They finally had a good start where they were pushing and having great offensive chances in the first. Zeri, yet again, is a beast and making an impact on the game. Wow, is he ever exciting to watch. I love the way he enters the zone with speed. Even though Kuzmenko didn't score, he played another really great game. His edges are incredible, and that dish to Huberdeau was truly a work of art. Wolf totally deserved the shutout. He continues to prove everyone who doesn't follow the Flames wrong and flaunt his incredible athleticism. I truly think that all 4 lines tonight were awesome. Pospisil also had a good game and thought he had some good chances. Impressive game by the Flames, and I'm happy with the outcome. Also, I love the way Coronado low-key elevates Backlund's game. Backlund's always steady Eddie and a great two-way player, but I feel Coronado's youth has been so beneficial for that CBC line. This reads from Steve. Have the game on in my bar tonight on Amazon Prime. Adnan Virk's unbelievable. So good. You could tell he has a special pride in Calgary because of Fan 960. Logo and I hung out with Virky today, and he was so stoked to be here, so stoked to finally meet Logo and I in person. And on top of that, so stoked to be in Calgary. He was so proud. He was talking to Logo and I here in the hot stove, and we're talking about Adnan Virk of Amazon Prime and MLB Network, NHL Network, and, you know, all Cinephile Podcast, Sportsnet 960, all of what Adnan does. So proud to be currently the longest tenured regular guest on Sportsnet 960, the Fan. So that was pretty cool to see how proud he was of that as well. This reads, this is it's a picture of Homer Simpson with a clipboard saying, "This is how I picture Pat when he hears Dustin Wolf is starting a game in which he gets to pick the three stars." Well, I mean, when he deserves it, he had a shutout until the final 2.5 minutes. He probably still should have had the shutout. He was getting the number one star tonight. That was pretty easy. This reads, "A great game all around by the Flames tonight. Would have been nice if Wolf got the shutout, but happy they got the win. Sounds like they did well in the faceoff circle. Wondering if they've improved in this area over the last little while. Thanks for the great broadcast." They did do well tonight, 54%. Have they gotten markedly better at that? No, but they did do better at it tonight. This from Francesco, who says, "Howdy, Mr. Steinberg and crew. This special day was made better by a win of a determined Flames group, and so fitting that Backlund scores first as he brings it back in the saddle again. Truly the leader of this impressive squad. A win and an assist for the young man they call Wolf. He reminds me of a Canadian lynx with his quick agility. He also acts like a Wolverine with his tenacious puck-gobbling skills, but mostly still, when he eats up a loose puck, he's just hungry like a wolf. Perhaps some future Hall of Fame inductees played this evening, and we'll remember this night. A win for Lanny McDonald. Huberdeau on the board. Keep him going." That comes from Francesco. Will in BC says, "I couldn't watch the game, but I listened to the third. I'm happy Wolf got another win. It sounded like he played well. Wanted to ask you, Pat, the way the season's starting, is there anyone on the Flames you would consider untouchable for possible trades? My list is pretty long at this point." Untouchable? Let's see. On the roster right now, I would say Dustin Wolf I would put untouchable. I would say Connor Zary I would put untouchable. I don't know. I mean, everybody else not untouchable to a certain extent. I mean, this is still a retooling group, and you can't be turning down a lot of things. Wolf would be one of them. I think Zary would be one of them. I would probably put Anderson as one of them too, just knowing the situation with his contract, though. We don't know what his desire is to re-sign. For me, though, he would probably be untouchable as well. This from Sonny. "What a great watch. Zary and Ball were my stars. Good coaching on the PK. Kuzmenko to Hubie was art. Question, does Vladar start tomorrow? Wolfman and Vernon featured on TV. Kind of spoiled me as a Flames fan. As a Calgarian, proud of the ceremony. Great job, Flames production crew. And the video series, The Chase, is fantastic. Thank you, Pat, and fellow Flames fans. Great night to wear some red." Yes, I would suggest that Vladar would get the start tomorrow, and should, on the second half of a back-to-back. This says, Pat, two questions. Did Adnan walk the catwalk? And when the NHL decided that was a goal, why did all the penalties stand? Shouldn't one Flames penalty have been negated?" Okay, that's from Dave on the East Coast. Yes, Adnan walked the catwalk, and why it didn't stand is why the penalties stood is because they did come after the fact. So that was the right call for the Kings to go on the power play, but as Wes Gilbertson pointed out while we were watching the end of the game down here, they probably wouldn't have given Pahal the extra roughing if they knew a goal had been scored. So that's why it's the penalty stood, however. This from Vats. "What a game from Wolf tonight. He's a beauty, and he totally deserved the shutout. Unfortunately, a strange decision from up top. Zary's on my radar for best Connor in Alberta. One general question for you. When Huska says the Flames didn't cheat the game, what does he mean?" What he means by that is, they're not, you know, getting away from details to look for offense. They're not flying the zone early. They're not coming lazily back on back checks, all that type of stuff. Just means the details were dialed in. Jordan in Mahogany. "So unfortunate that Wolf lost the shutout the way he did. Every time he gets close, he seems to have something totally unlucky happen. Hopefully he can break the curse soon." This from Jason in Airdrie, who says, "Loved what I saw from the Flames today. Good overall effort and energy from the jump. Dustin Wolf was robbed of a shutout, in my opinion, but the Flames played great in front of him. Game was a blast. Crowd was into it, and my boyfriend had a blast at the game celebrating our anniversary. Take care, Pat. You rock." Thank you, Jason. What else we got here at 960-960? This comes from
Smiley asks, did I see Adnan Verkin? Indeed I did. Rick in Lakeview, what a terrific effort tonight. Very thorough from start to finish. Hopefully that taste of playing with a lead is addictive. Apart from the still dubious power play, the positives far outweighed any negatives this evening. Harsh news on Mantha. We may never know how that may have worked. Looking forward to tomorrow night in Vancouver. Of course, Rick's talking about Anthony Mantha being done for the season with an ACL injury. And what else we got here at 960-960? This reads, Pat, hope you're doing well, from Nick. I thought the Prime broadcast, it was great. Hard to track the puck at times, though. Wolf got robbed of a shutout. Went to the Cavs game Saturday. Total difference of a crowd at a Cavalry game. Jumping and chanting, having fun, while Flames fans just sit there. Well, Nick, it's a little bit different just because soccer versus hockey. You know, it is a slightly different crowd and a slightly different overall atmosphere. Great stuff so far on the text line at 960-960. We'll get back to the text line shortly, but now to the phone lines we go for the first time tonight. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. You can always get us here on our Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and the Flames take a 3-1 win over the LA Kings. Let's go to Cameron on the phone lines. You're kicking us off tonight, Cameron. What's going on?
Yes. I'm on.
You are on. What's going on, Cameron?
Well, I think a big shout-out to the coaches and the management of the Flames. You know, they really don't get that many hurrahs, and I think they've done a great job of pulling the team together. And furthermore, any time a team can come back, as they've done in pretty well all the games, they were behind, so the coach figures out who should be going and who isn't, pulls some guys back and puts the lines out there together, and they continue to win. They were predicted to be, I think, in 27th place, and they're overcoming all the odds, and they're just doing a tremendous job. I've been a Flame fan for years, but this year really turns me on. I think it's just awesome.
They work hard, man. They work hard. They play hard.
They do.
For the most part, they stick with it. Sometimes they've been, you know, out-talented, if you want to say that. And sometimes they haven't been able to find ways. But, yeah, they play hard. They really do.
They have no marquee players. I mean, no big players that are getting paid. Well, we inherited Huberto, but beyond that, we got just medium salary players. And, I mean, we don't have the guys that are outstanding, but we got just a great team effort. We can be very proud of this team.
It's been good so far, for sure, Cameron.
Yeah. What was your question?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah, I think it's just an awesome team. It's fun to listen to, and the announcers are doing a great job as well. Everybody's on board, and Calgary's turned on, and that's wonderful to watch and hear.
All right, Cameron, well, you have yourself a great night, hey?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Monday night. 3-1 Flames win over the LA Kings with Clyde up next. What's up, Clyde?
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Again, always want to thank the team and everyone behind the scenes. Also want to thank anyone who's listening who's ever been in service for the military or anything. Very important to remember the people who have and recognize them.
Absolutely.
But anyway, about the game, I think Zari was amazing. First off, he never got a goal, but he tried. He tried with all his might.
Yeah,
He was I named him number two star in this game because I mean he ended up his numbers off the charts in this one tonight. So this was the final stat line on Connor Zeri. He finished with 7 shot attempts, tied for the team lead, 5 shots on net. All 7 of his shot attempts were scoring chances at natural stat trick, and 5 of them were high danger scoring chances. Like, the fact he didn't get a point tonight is actually pretty surprising. He was electric this evening, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to argue or fight it on the Wolf goal or the Moore goal, but it just sucks knowing Wolfie was so close again and then lost it. It's just a shame, honestly. But
it is, and
I think he'll get it eventually.
The last time that he was close, Martin Pospisil took a late penalty and the Sharks scored on the power play late to ruin that shutout bid, game 82 of last year. Yeah, I felt awful for the guy. I mean, they still won, and look, I can tell you this much. Dustin Wolf doesn't really care. Like, he will not lose a single wink of sleep because he lost the shutout late. They got the win, and that's all that matters. But, yeah, I mean, from the outside, it would have been nice to see him get that.
Yeah. Anyway, Patty, you have yourself a nice night and get home safe, of course.
Thank you, Clyde. Be well, buddy.
You as well.
Okay, man, 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 3-1 win over the LA Kings here on this Monday night. Let's say hello to George on the Flames Talk phone lines. What's up, George?
Patty, my man, how are you?
Good, buddy. Oh, you've got garbage phone today.
Oh, no.
It's all good. It's
you know what? Funny, they told me it sounded good when I called in.
It's just fine. It's more than workable. I just like giving you a hard time.
Okay, well, hey, so far this season, you've got to admit, it's been better more times than not, so.
It has been. I think this is the first time since the preseason it's been junk.
That's better. That's very upsetting. We'll try truck through this one, right? Okay. First comment I do want to make is I thought the Amazon Prime presentation was excellent, actually. It was really refreshing. It's so cool to see Adnan Burke on there. I've been a fan of his for a long time. You know, dating back to all the hits and he's done and still does with you guys on The Fan, but he was excellent tonight. The whole presentation was excellent. It's actually quite different from anything I've ever seen in a long time, so I want to give them kudos to that. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the remaining 4 games that the Flames have on Amazon.
Yeah, they've got another one this month. They're into Ottawa on the 25th, and that's an Amazon game.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty cool to see. That was, in my opinion anyway, that was Wolf's best game as a Flame so far. And that was arguably the Flames' best performance as a team so far from start to finish. That was good to see. We're 15 games in, I believe. I think we're 15 games in.
16.
And it's just 16. Man, I'm always one behind, huh? We've got to get together, Patty. 16 games. Through 16 games, man, other than 2 stinkers, really, you know, the Vegas and Utah back-to-back, they've been so fun to watch. They work so hard. And I don't even want to criticize those 2 stinkers because every team throughout an 82-game season will have those, right? Generally, you'll have about 3 to 5 games where you're not there. Some teams more, obviously. But, I mean, what can you say right now? It's been fun to watch. It's so fun watching the youth. You know, Connor Zeri, it feels like he's on the precipice of doing something really special and phenomenal. I mean, it was as much as it was a shame that Wolf didn't get the shutout, and I'm not going to go too much into that tonight because I was pretty upset about the call, but I get it. But it's just as kind of mind-boggling as Zeri didn't even get a point tonight, but he should have had 2 goals easily tonight, let alone, you know, anything else. But he was just stellar tonight.
He was really like a best player on the best skater on the ice tonight, no doubt. And there were no like passengers or anything for the Flames tonight. It was just a really strong outing for Connor Zeri. He was so dangerous all night.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, that was not the first time that that's been the case this year. I mean, honestly, how many games can you say he was the best player on the ice so far this season through 16 games?
Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty consistent for him this year.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch because he's literally just beginning his career. It's so exciting to see where it goes from here down the road, right? So that's always good to see. What did you think of Pospisil tonight?
I thought there were no passengers tonight. And I thought that he was much better. Thought that line had some decent moments. Thought he was a little bit more noticeable on the forecheck tonight. So it was small step forward game. Best game he's played in a little while. When that line's all said and done, they end up with a goal scored on the Huberdeau breakaway. I thought Pospisil was pretty decent in his role. Won 3 of 5 faceoffs. Played 12.5 minutes. So yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah, so did I. Hopefully, I know it's one game, but hopefully it starts a trend in the direction of the positive because, I mean, he's had a really rough season to this point. So I hope, you know, this is kind of a turning point for him. Again, one game, we need to see a lot more to determine it. But, you know, it's much better to see a game like this as opposed to the other one. So I'm glad for him more than anything because, you know, he really needs to turn it around here. Final one for you here, Patty. So Huberdeau scores a nice goal in the breakaway, and I know you mentioned that he's actually the leading goal scorer on the team, which is a surprise, but it just goes to show, I know it's a breakaway, but it goes to show as much as he's known as a playmaker, and we talked about this a lot last year too, the guy has a really good shot. And I wonder if he, I'm not saying so much change his game, but I wonder if they can kind of drill it through his head.
He knows he's got a good shot too, George. It's not like he doesn't know that. It's just, again, like he's closing in on 900 NHL games. This is year 3 in Calgary. Are we really convinced that he's going to become a more shoot-first guy?
Probably not, but the hope is still there because it's just like I said, my complaint is like, when he's in a position...
Did it ever change with Alex Tanguy?
No, it didn't.
Tanguy's a hell of a hockey player and had a great career as a pass-first guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, your points are valid. Your points are valid. It's just sometimes you just want to, you know... It's frustrating, but... You know, what can you say? Huberdeau's season's been up and down, up and down. It's kind of been a roller coaster, but... You know, it is what it is, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Listen, that's all I got for you tonight. Sorry about the phone. I was under the assumption it was
you're
good.
Fine. You're fine. You're fine.
Hopefully it's few and far between, eh? So I hope you have a good night, my friend. We'll talk to you very soon, all right?
All right, Georgie, appreciate it, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 3-1 win over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's say hello to Carson. What's up, Carson?
I'm doing good. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, man.
Well, all I would like to say is what a great game by the Flames, a big win. Zary was dynamic. I find that he enters the zone so easily, like the offensive zone. And I just don't know why, I'm struggling to find why he's not playing center, because I think that him and Pospisil were a really great matchup last year, and maybe that gets Pospisil going. I don't know what you think of that.
I am quite on record of, I think, him playing down the middle something they should really explore. They love him on the wing right now, and I understand why, because he has been so dynamic, so on and so forth. But everything that we've seen from Zary, how dynamic he's been, how much he's been strong. You're right. I think right now he's probably their best guy on entries, power play or 5-on-5. You're right. Like, he enters the zone and he's very good at it. You know, those are reasons why I think that
him being a center would be a real worthwhile thing to try. So I don't think you urgently need to do it or anything like that, especially after tonight where all four lines I thought contributed positively. But sometime down the road, I think, you know, trying Zeri down the middle is a real worthwhile experiment. And I think the worry might be that he's been so dynamic for him and so good offensively for him that all of a sudden, if you put a little bit more on his shoulders with the added responsibility specifically defensively that goes along with being a center iceman, that maybe it takes away from how dynamic he is and maybe he gets lost out there a little bit more. And while I understand that, I still think it's worthwhile to try.
Yeah. What would you think, though, of him and Pospisil maybe going back on the line together?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they would, I don't know. I feel like Pospisil is struggling a little bit. Like, it's not like he's been playing horrible, but I don't know. I would maybe like to see him in a different lineup.
Yeah, and well, I mean, they probably won't change much for tomorrow in Vancouver, but we'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully they get another win here.
Yeah.
You have a good one.
Thanks, Carson. Be well, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
403-240-4444 is your phone number. Flames win 3-1 over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Give us a call if you want to chat on the phone lines tonight. Keep your text coming at 960-960. Our buddy Anand is with us. What's going on, Anand? Anand, are you on mute, buddy? Anand going once. Anand going twice. No Anand this evening. Maybe he'll call back. Let's say hello to Ryan instead. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, man, I can't supplement Anand, but how are you, bud?
Good, bud.
Glad to hear it. Another very proud of Dustin. That was awesome to see. I was going to comment a bit on the Prime broadcast until I heard the intro. I was figuring that was an American thing only. Did they supplement Sportsnet in Canada tonight, too?
Yes. Yep. Prime Canada, they do all the games and for all the Monday games here. And so, yeah, this was Prime only on television on Monday.
Interesting. I usually go through the ESPN thing, and it's always the sports and the broadcast of the opposing team. This was Kings or Prime. So it was odd when I turned on to it. So they did a pretty good job. I thought apparently friend of the show, one of the announcers, you were saying?
Yes, Adnan Virk.
Ah, yes. Name sounds familiar. Cool. Sharon Govich, as far as your, no trade. I think Yegor is good to not let go of. Untouchable, if you will.
Is he untouchable for me? No. Very few guys are. But, and that's not me saying that they should all be traded, but like if somebody comes with a really good trade offer, I'm always saying, well, yeah, I mean, there's only a few guys that would be on that untouchable list on this roster. He would not be a guy, very few. I'm not really actively trying to shop anybody right now, but.
No, I get it.
I'm not saying that they should move Sharon Govich out. I just, you know, he's 26 years old, probably not untouchable on my list if you really want to go into the full-on definition of untouchable. But am I looking, do I think they should move
Fair
him?
Enough.
No, I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. He just seems like he's introverted like me and can withstand winters and be very, very, very happy there for a long time, you know.
Well, he signed here long-term, didn't he?
He did, but he could stay even longer. I don't know. I like the guy. Anyhow, I was going to comment. Let's see. Oh, Huberdeau being set in his ways at the 900 game mark. I had a lot of socioeconomic plans that were going to revolutionize my life in the coming years. Does that mean I'm kind of delusional? Is that not likely to happen? Am I stuck in my ways?
I don't know how to answer that question, nor do I know what you're talking about.
There's no prospect of change apparently when we're veterans.
I mean, I guess it depends when you've
when you've gotten to a high level and you've gotten to a point where you make $10.5 million a year,
you probably
can rely on the things that got you to that high level and feel like and it can be difficult to change those things. I can understand that.
I think we make a fair point. I was actually surprised that he put that in on the breakaway. That was good to see.
Nice shot. Nice
everyone's
finish.
Playing great. Yep. I've been out for a few games, but you know that I'm there in spirit. Been enjoying all the radio calls that I've caught. And good job, everybody. And take care, Pat.
Thanks, Ryan. Good to hear from you, buddy. Anand was not there last time. Is Anand here this time?
Hey, Pat, can you hear me now?
I got you. What's up, bud?
Yeah, sorry, I lost network connection in between. I was in the basement where I usually call from, but I think I lost it in between. Now you can hear me, right?
Yep, I got you. What's kicking?
Doing good. How are you this evening?
I'm good.
Yeah, great game tonight. I think they played the whole entire 60 minutes full effort. I like how Backlund scored his top right snipe. That was excellent. And then Huberto on that breakaway as well, assisted by Wolf. So congratulations to him on the assist point as well. And then almost a shutout, which again, we've been talking about all this evening. And then Kuzmenko also getting that assist. And then finally, Rooney getting rewarded for something in the empty net. I think that was well deserved for him. So I think overall a great, fun game to watch. It was entertaining in all aspects. I just have one question for you. What did you think of Kadri's game tonight?
I thought it was fine. I thought that line was good early on and kind of, as the Kings started to get to their game, that line maybe spent a little bit more time defending as the night went along. But I thought they were generally strong. I thought Kadri was generally strong. And I didn't feel like there were any passengers or anything like that tonight. Thought it was a pretty solid night overall for everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, I think it's also time to maybe, like we have been saying, maybe try Zari at center, because he's been making a lot of great moves, dangling around and a lot of highlight reels, especially down the center. So maybe do you think it's worth a look in the near future?
I mean, yes, I do. That being said, they played really well tonight, so I doubt we'll see any big changes. You know, might be a tweak here and there, but I doubt we see any kind of wholesale changes for Tuesday in Vancouver. If it continues not to work with Pospisil down the middle, if it continues not to work with Sharon Govich down the middle, I think at some point giving Zary a run there makes a lot of sense. I don't think you need to force it right away after this game, but I do think that there's some sense to it for sure.
All right, gotcha. And one final question. I know you talked about wholesale changes. Do you think Klapka gets in a chance tomorrow, or do you think they'll wait to come back on Friday or something?
I think he's got a chance, although I feel like the way they played tonight might make it a little bit less likely that we see any real changes. Like, you know, again, it was a pretty everybody on board type night. I know that Ryan Huska likes to make changes on the second half, but back-to-back, so I wouldn't write it off, but I would have felt more confident of something happening, you know, if the game went a little bit differently, not even just the result, but had they not kind of played a really solid start-to-finish night, I feel like there's a better chance of them sticking with this lineup than there would have been elsewhere. So, yes, there's a chance, and I definitely think they look at Klapka as a guy they want to get games for, but whether it happens against Vancouver, we'll see.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, fair enough. All right, sounds good, Pat. Thanks for taking my second part of the recall. I appreciate it. Have a good night and talk
no
to you
problem.
Tomorrow.
I'm glad you called back. Thanks, Ann. Hey, phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. Got a couple of lines open on the phone lines if you want to chat with us. We'll get back to both the phone lines and the text line here very shortly. Let's head back to the Flames locker room, though. It's time to hear from number two star in this game this evening. Zero goals, zero assists for Connor Zary, but he was dialed in this one tonight. Five individual high danger scoring chances of his seven shot attempts. He was all over it. All seven of his shot attempts redeemed scoring chances at Natural Stat Trick, and five of them of the high danger variety. Let's hear Connor Zeri post-game after this 3-1 win tonight.
Was that maybe the team's most complete game of the season?
Yeah, for sure. I think we've talked about our starts a lot, especially on that road trip. I thought we knew as a team we came out flat, kind of had to claw back and climb back, and obviously we've been good at that, playing from behind, but we really want to come out and have a start and get a lead. I think we talked about it right before we went on. Let's try and score the first goal tonight and play with the lead. So I think that was really good by us, and to get that full 60, that was a lot like how we kind of started the year, and we've all obviously kind of been back and forth a little bit, but when you see games like that and are able to be complete like that, it's huge for us.
So what maybe did you do differently, Connor, in the first period that maybe you hadn't done in the previous?
I think we were just simple. We kind of just started right from the first shift, getting on the forecheck. I think that's what's huge for us. That's our game, is to keep it simple and get that going, and then keep making plays from there once we get in the offensive zone. So I think that's huge for us, and it's kind of just, it's not really one of those things that there's a secret recipe. It's kind of just be ready, get your legs moving. It's as simple as that.
How'd you feel tonight? I mean, you were all over it all night long.
Yeah, I feel great, obviously. I think my game's been really good, and I feel really good about it. Obviously, I got to put the puck in the back of the net, and the chances are great, but eventually you got to start to produce, so that's a bit frustrating. But I think overall I can't complain with how the overall game's been played.
You've seen Dustin do this at different levels. What'd you make of his performance tonight?
Yeah, he's great. I think I've been around him for the last 4 years now, so he's special. He's so good. He's so quick, and just the way he plays the game, the way he reads it, it's unbelievable. So obviously we want to see him keep doing that.
Not that you guys are short on reasons like Justin Kirkland, but you got to appreciate him standing up for you in a situation like that.
Yeah, for sure. That's huge. He's one of the best guys. I played with him in Stockton a few years back, and obviously I know him quite well. And for him to come off the bench, he doesn't really have to do something like that. But for me to see that, that's pretty special. And obviously it makes you feel good as a teammate and as a friend.
There you go. That is Connor Zeri post-game following this 3-1 win for the Flames over the Los Angeles Kings. Okay, we are underway. This is your Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, call now. Last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. So if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. It is last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. Keep your text coming at 969-60. We'll get back to the text line around the corner as well. This is your Flames Talk post-game show, and this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome: Flames take a 3-1 win over the LA Kings. Really solid outing for the Flames this evening as well, and a pretty full marks effort for them as they now make the trip to Vancouver. They'll take on the Canucks on Tuesday night to wrap up this stretch of three games in 4 days. What's going on? It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It is last call for phone calls. Now's your absolute last chance. If you want to call now, 403-240-4444. And keep your text coming as well, 960-960. Let's get back inside the Flames locker room for a final time. Let's hear from Jonathan Huberdeau, one of your goal scorers tonight. He actually has the game winner when it's all said and done. Here's Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following this one this evening.
Not to make it too much of it, but is that one of the most complete game of your season? And if so, how come?
It is. I think, you know, from the get-go, I mean, I said this morning that we needed to start on time and be all over them, and you know, that's what we did. But I think doing it, like, over and over, I think it wears them down, and, you know, that's what we did. And I think, you know, obviously Wolfie was making some great saves out there. Obviously unfortunate with that goal.
That pass from Kuzmenko, too, beautiful, eh?
Yeah, it was fluttering a little bit, but it was a good pass, though. It was, you know, obviously he's a great player. I mean, he's making a lot of plays, and, you know, I think it was his great pass, and then, you know, fortunate to get a breakaway.
Is it fair to say after the first period, despite it being 0-0, you took momentum from that period into the second?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, scoring two quick goals and, you know, taking advantage. I think you know, we deserved it the way we were working. I think we needed to capitalize, and that's what we did. I think after that, we didn't look back.
A lot was made of your connection with Anthony Manta, and what it might bring to you. Just hearing that he's out for the season, it's got to be heartbreaking, eh?
It is. It's never easy, you know, obviously, to lose a guy all year. And, you know, he's coming in here and wants to prove himself and, you know, getting a bad injury like that. It's never easy. We know it feel for him, and you know, hopefully it's going to be speedy recovery. The surgery is going to go well. So I think it's, you know, it's, like I said, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we'll think about it.
There's Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following tonight's 3-1 win over the LA Kings. Okay, back to the text line we go at 960-960, starting with our buddy Mandeep at BK Liquor Beaufort. Mandeep says, took the family to the game. Amazing time. Thank you, Patty. Keep it up. Big shout-out to our hometown boy, Thomas Hickey, crushing it between the bench on Prime. That's my boy. Go Flames, go. My wife is the best. Love you, John. Yes, and Mandeep, always a beauty. Thomas Hickey, Calgary born and raised, doing the Prime games. Pretty cool to see. This from Kale in Vulcan. The league just trying to make the game interesting with a tight game and penalty on the play. A victim of the market they're playing. Wolfie was a stud. Great to see backs with a couple tucks recently. Huberdeau for the Team Rocket, and put this production nonsense to bed. Go Flames, go. Conspiracy theory, not going to buy into that. Do I think it was conclusive on a goal? No, I don't think that either. This from Carson in Saskatoon. Love to see a big win from the Flames. Zeri was electric. I don't understand why they don't put him on center and have Pospisil on the wing, considering they played great together last year. This one comes from Michael. Says, feels like Zeri's about to go off for a big scoring run. Could see that with the way he's been playing for the last little bit. This says from Ernie, the view from the side showed the puck in Dustin's glove and the puck beyond the post. Again, I saw lots of angles. I'm not saying there wasn't conclusive evidence. Just from what I saw, I didn't see conclusive evidence. This comes from Christian, as Christian says, was at the game tonight, happy they won, and had a lot of fun. It's absolutely crazy to me how the LA goal counts, but the three for them in the playoffs don't. I was at game three when the Bennett no goal happened. It haunts me to this day. I don't think it was a goal for LA. Either way, they won, and it was a huge one. Here's the other thing about the Bennett goal in game three of the series against the Ducks. Didn't matter. The Flames won that game anyway, so they needed to go to overtime, but they did need to end up going to overtime as opposed to potentially winning in regulation. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. The most connected, complete game maybe all season. Love the way they moved the puck. Wolf was excellent. Seeing the youth assert themselves so well makes you positive for the future of the club. They still need to get some serious talent at center, and I'm unsure how you get it outside of the top 10 in the draft. I'm trying to be open to a hybrid-type rebuild, but I'm skeptical of their management after years of middling and being middle of the league and an unwillingness to rebuild properly. What else we got here at 960-960? Aaron in Mahogany says, the other network was talking this evening about whether Wolf has won the number one starter title. Your thoughts? I don't think so as of yet, but he's playing really well. You know, they probably go right back to Vladar for the back-to-back in Vancouver. We'll see, but I mean, Wolf's playing really good hockey. I'll say that much. Dylan in Riverbend says, can we petition to end the wave in close games? The wave is to blame for the shutout being wrecked. Good game. Enjoyed a bachelor party. is that Dylan or is that Ryan Pinder? I don't know. I think that's funny, though. The wave stuff always makes me laugh. And it was the wave late in the game, and then the shutout got ruined. I don't dispute that. This from Brady in Lethbridge. I think everyone should just enjoy the ride. You never know what can happen in a season or what can happen from season to season. Go Flames, go. This comes from Adam, who says, hello, Pat and friends. This game had the feel that it could have went bad for them. They came out hard and outplayed the Kings, but halfway through the game, still no luck on the score sheet. Was nice to see them rewarded for sticking with it. Too bad Zeri couldn't find the sheet, but overall, great game. Lots of pace. Not sure about that lone Kings goal, though. Tough way for Wolf to lose the shutout. Go Flames, go, and thank you to all of our service men and women. That's from Adam in Saskatoon. What else we got here at 960, 960?
There you go. Those are all the texts as well at 960-960. Great stuff so far on the text line. Really appreciate it. Got a few more phone calls to get to following tonight's Flames 3-1 win over the LA Kings. This is Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Jamie is up next with us. What's going on, Jamie?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Just got to say, great win tonight. Great victory. Like you were saying, no passengers at all. I mean, just a solid effort by our group, and just get ready to go in Vancouver tomorrow. I really feel like we have a chance if they play Shelobs, but we don't really have much of a chance if they play Lankinen because he's playing so well. So,
I mean, I won't. I'll just as a rebuttal, Darcy Kuemper had a career 951 against the Flames,
yeah,
and they beat him tonight. So I mean, you never know. You never. I mean, Lankinen's been very good for them, but you never know how any given night goes, right? I mean, maybe goalie's off his game. Yeah. Like who knows? And I mean, here's what I'll say about the Flames with the goaltending they've got from both Wolf and Vladar. From the way that they play, the way that they stick with their game or have mostly stuck with their game this year, I think they give themselves a chance each and every night.
For sure. No, it'll be a great night tomorrow night as well. It was a great night tonight. I won't take up much of your time there, but I just got to give a huge shout out, man, to my cousin Grant, who's doing the in-game host for the Flames. Just kills it absolutely every game, and just does a phenomenal job of the in-game host duties for the Flames. So just got to give a huge shout-out to Grant. He's an amazing person, amazing cousin. Happy to have him in my family and happy to have him down at the Dome.
You know that Grant and I went to college together, hey?
No way.
Yeah. Grant's like one of my best friends going back more than 20 years now.
Hey, next time you see him, ask him about the family New Year's Eve tradition about eating Chinese food every New Year's.
Real original, Jamie. Real original. Just kidding. My family does the same. My family does the same thing. Yeah. That's why I say that. I will. I talk to Grant all the time. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, no, he's a great guy, and you know, any chance I get to see him, I'll gladly take. Yeah, just a great guy for sure.
Well, I appreciate the call, man. You have yourself a great night, hey?
You too, Patty. Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie. Let's say hello to Jordan on the phone lines. What's up, Jordan?
Oh, you know, just hanging out, listening to this post game show. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good, man.
Good, good. Yeah, I unfortunately wasn't able to watch the first bit, but I thank God we got Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Derek Wills is a great job again. Made it sound really exciting. I mean, I really wish I could have watched that first period. It sounded like we had a really good start. Of course, as opposed to a lot of the other games, so I was happy with that. So I heard Pospisil's name a little more. Like, obviously, you know, I think he had a pretty good game. Nothing super crazy, but definitely stepped up from how he's been playing. So that's been pretty good.
Well, again, there were no real passengers in this game tonight. It was just a solid night for everybody. Everybody kind of contributed, each line, each pairing. Obviously, Dustin Wolf. It was just a solid night in that regard, that we weren't talking about a lot of passengers or really any at all.
Yeah, what did you think about that? I thought the Kirkland fight was just—it seemed funny. I don't know what it was. It seemed slow. Like, it almost looked like it was slow motion. He seemed like he was looked like he was winding up a bit to try to land some bigger ones, but it didn't just fully hit every time. I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. What did you think of it? I thought it was just an interesting fight. It wasn't.
Well, I liked the fact that he first of all stepped up and fought. Like, that was good to see. You know, sticking up for a teammate after they didn't like the hit on Zeri. And it was a rookie on the other side, so that probably played into it too. So yeah, I thought it was good to see him step up and not only take the fight, but kind of not initiate, but he definitely was the guy that said, okay, you want to do that, let's go. And I thought the fight, you know, it started off bad for him, and then he kind of, after he took one of the licks, he kind of got himself into it. So, yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah. No, that's cool. And, yeah, it's too bad. So, of course, I'm out in here in Vancouver, and really thought I'd be able to make the game tomorrow, but I have a mandatory class, and it's not really one I can fake sick to get out of or anything. So a little disappointing. I won't be able to watch them out here, but, you know, I'll try and maybe try and sneak something on the computer and catch a bit of that tomorrow.
All right. Well, I wish you luck, but focus on your class too.
Oh yeah. You know, I always make sure I absorb the information, you know, looking up and down, but yeah, no.
Okay.
We're good.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, man. Good to hear from you, Jordan.
Yeah. Good talking
to
you. Have a good night.
You too, man. And our last call tonight goes to our buddy, Jose. What's up, Jose?
Pat, mi hermano, ¿cómo estás, brother? Everything good?
Estoy bien.
Muy bien. Pat, what an exciting game, man. But, you know, I got to tell you, why do they do this to us, man? Like, this is what they do. They get our hopes up. This is a fantastic game, a fantastic effort. Like, they just, defensively, they looked so good. They were shutting everything down from LA. LA couldn't get anything generated in the first period. And in parts of the second, they were trying to turn it on, but then Calgary scored two quick goals, you know, and it was Kemper in net, huh?
Yes, it was Kemper tonight.
Who's number 9 for LA?
Adrian Kempe.
He's dynamite, man. Holy man, he was all over the ice too. That Kempe, man, he was making life difficult for the Flames. But
that's a pretty good player over there. That guy scored 30 before. That's a good player.
Yeah, he was dynamite, man. Like I was worried about that guy because he was the best guy for LA. That in my opinion, he's the guy that stood out. But he was the only one that stood out. I mean, to me, just Calgary shut them down, top to bottom, left to right. It was a fantastic effort. One thing I noticed too, the only penalty that Calgary took was like late in the game, right? That was
it was the roughing double minor to Pahal,
which is lame. I don't know what that was all about, but anyways.
Well, it was after the scrum, right? So like we thought that they had we didn't know they had scored, right? So we had thought that Dustin Wolf made that stop, and so there was a bit of a goal mouth scramble, and you know,
right.
stuff got a little heated there. And so when that happened, Laferriere took 2 for roughing. Pahal took 4 for roughing. Again, Wes made a really good point when we were talking about it, though. Like, had the officials at that time didn't know a goal had been scored. So you wonder if, in hindsight, do they even give if they knew that a goal had gone in, do they call any penalties there, or do they give the Flames the extra? I don't think they do.
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of a silly double minor there in that situation. But, you know, even the call from Bettman didn't help them. Screw LA. We got the win, which is the most important thing. And, I mean, it was, you know, it begs the question, why can't they have this valiant, incredible, complete effort every night? Like, what's missing? Why is it?
Well, I mean, but name teams that do, Jose. I mean, this goes back to the age-old question. I must have talked about this on this program for the better part of 15 years since I've been doing it. And that is the fact that, you know, a big reason why the Flames, because we talk about the Flames on the show called Flames Talk, a big
right.
reason why there are nights or that you see the inconsistencies or the wild swings in terms of, well, because typically those are the teams that aren't the elite teams. And I don't think anybody is going to confuse the Flames as one of the NHL's elite. So there's going to be some ups and downs. Now, the one thing that has been consistent for the most part is their work ethic and the effort and all that type of stuff. So that has been a real positive. But Yeah, there are going to be nights where they look really good. There are going to be nights when they don't look as good. I mean, every team over an 82-game season, doesn't matter how elite you are, goes through that. But it's the elite ones. It's the high-end ones. It's the Vegases and Carolinas and Floridas and teams like that who do it for like 65 nights a year. It's the teams like San Jose and Anaheim who are really bad, who are the other way, and they get outplayed and you know, are just the second-best team on the ice for 65, 60 nights a year. And then there's everybody else in between. And you know, when your roster isn't built like an elite one, and the Flames do not have an NHL elite roster, then there's going to be some inconsistencies. And I actually give them credit. They've been more consistent through 16 games this season than it felt like they were at any point the last two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at a team like L.A., and I wonder to myself, do they really have any kind of superstar that's, you know, taking them above the line? I mean, Anze Kopitar's older now. Drew Doughty's, I don't even know if Doughty's back yet, but Drew Doughty's an older guy.
Doughty's not back. No.
So, I mean, like, it's almost a similar kind of situation where L.A.'s a team that's just, you know, performing to their potential. And I mean, hey, listen, we win tomorrow, we're tied for first in the Pacific, right? So what's keeping us, so many people don't think that we're a playoff team, but then we see efforts like this and it's like, hey, We're throwing punches with the best of them.
This is what I keep on saying. Like, that's Utah or Seattle or like lots of other teams in the same mix do the same thing. You know, they have nights where they look really good and they have nights when they don't look as good. And the Flames looked really good. They're full marks for this one tonight.
Yeah, it was a fantastic effort. And we'll see tomorrow against Vancouver. This is going to be a tough one in a back to back. And you know, if Huska kind of sticks to his system and subs a few guys out, I think it'll be another good effort against a Vancouver team that's been kind of up and down as well. They've been suffering their own inconsistencies and got beat up pretty bad by Edmonton. But this is the roller coaster, Pat. It's like some nights they look fantastic, and other nights it's like Utah and Vegas. It's like, it's flabbergasting how up and down this roller coaster can be. But you know, it's this is where the consistency is going to matter the most, because you know, right now you're in a playoff position, you're the hunted, not the hunter, you know. So can we keep this up? Can we keep
and
this
we
going?
Will see. We will see.
The biggest question mark, right?
It's still really early. It's still 16 games, but they have put themselves in a spot where they've got a chance to stay in this thing for a while at the very worst. And we'll see what type of moves end up getting made and how the roster continues to evolve. Like, if they trade away a couple of veterans between now and the trade deadline, then all of a sudden it becomes a slightly different story. Money Puck, which is where I go to take a look at the playoff predictions, they've got the Flames at 22.8% to make the playoffs. So that has them ahead of Nashville, Seattle, St. Louis, Chicago, Anaheim, San Jose. Has them behind Winnipeg, Minnesota, Vancouver, Dallas, L.A., Edmonton, Vegas, and Colorado. So, and Utah. So right now at Money Puck, they've got the Flames finishing 10th on their playoff odds. And that only means so much. I mean, those predictions are just that.
And then that's kind of the worst place to be, because either you got to make the playoffs or you got to be in the top 10 for a draft pick. That middle part is just absolute death for this team, right? And
Tis. And that's why there are lots of people who are like, I don't know if I love what's going on right now for that reason. I understand that. For me, I kind of say, well, you kind of let the chips fall where they may. We have no control over it when it's all said and done, right?
They're the ones on the ice, man. If they can keep up this clip, if they can keep going, man, just do it. You know, but because the one thing you can't build is a losing mentality, because it's so hard to get out of that. Like, you ask Anaheim, San Jose, Chicago, like, you get into that loser mentality, and it's so, so difficult to crawl out of that. And that's why I'll never, ever condone that, you know, that, what do you call it, team tank mentality. It's just, to me, it's a loser mentality that's a hard tunnel to get out of. But anyways, I just wanted to send a shout-out to my boy Ryan at Dutton's, best bartender, and best bartender at Dutton's, always taking care of us, and it's always a pleasure to be at the Dome, Patty. I love you, pal. Thanks for the great job that you do. Buenas noches, mi hermano.
Ah, te gusta. Te amo, te amo, te amo.
Yo también, brother. Yo también. Eres mi hermano.
Thanks, Jose. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, hermano. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Jose knows I'm learning Spanish, so... So and he is originally from Mexico. So I like it. I'm learning French. I've been 5 years. I'm 5 years into French, and about 5 months into Spanish. And so I'm learning. I'm coming along. I'm doing well. I'm attempting to become a polyglot before I leave this earth. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show. That'll definitely wrap us up on the phone lines tonight and on the text line. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. And we'll do it again on Tuesday night after a Flames game in Vancouver. It's time for our final summary, as there were no goals, no scoring in the first period. We didn't get our first goal until after the midway mark of this game. 0-0 until the 10:42 mark of the second period, when Michael Backlund makes it 1-0 Calgary. The captain goes upstairs for his fourth of the season unassisted, and the Flames had a 1-0 lead. Then 36 seconds later, Jonathan Huberdeau sprung on a breakaway and scores. He picks up his sixth of the year from Andre Kuzmenko and Dustin Wolf at 11:18. For Wolf, his first career NHL point, and the Flames in business, leading 2-0 after 40 minutes of play. To the third period we go, as the Kings get on the board. Trevor Moore scores to make it 2-1. Moore's third from Anze Kopitar and Quinton Byfield at 17:29, and the Kings within one. They also had a power play immediately following that, and so had a real good opportunity to tie it. They don't. Power play expires, and then Kevin Rooney seals this thing into an empty net at 19:40. Rooney's first from Backlund and Matt Coronato gets us to our 3-1 final score. Final shots were 30-28 in favor of L.A., Calgary 0-2 on the power play tonight. LA 0-1 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight: number 3, Michael Backlund; number 2, Connor Zary; and your number 1 star is Dustin Wolf this evening. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was also Dustin Wolf. With the win, Flames improved to 8-5-3. They're back in action tomorrow, Tuesday, on the road in Vancouver, while Los Angeles falls to 9-5-3. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Colorado. That is your final summary. And now, for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Matt Jakusko, for our reporter Logan Gordon, for our reporter Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producers Connor Gronsdahl and Cam Hughes, my name is Pat Steinberg, and that will start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames Tuesday night in Vancouver, it is an 8 o'clock face-off, which means we're on the air at 7 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from the Dome: Flames 3, Kings 1. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.